Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful Veronica Ann Wessel. Welcome, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
And tonight's show is Functioning in the New Paradigm. Lord.
change.
Oh, yes, it really is.
You've got to have your skates on, roller skates.
Well, I think I'm just going to read what this is, that we're wending our way through right now, and how do we really function in this new paradigm, and why does it feel so doggone different, and why am I so emotional? Oh, dear Lord. And why do people feel so different to me right now? It doesn't even feel like the same Earth. I don't know if you've noticed this, Veronica, but it absolutely feels so different to me. And, of course, all that old stuff that we thought we'd healed is back up for another round. Oh, my God. Another round.
You think we were too cocky, huh?
Yes. Absolutely. I will never be cocky again. Well, God, write that down, Veronica.
Never say never.
Yeah, right. Time and date. I honestly will never say I've healed this or I've healed that, because I absolutely know that every time we move to another level, there's another level to heal. So the new paradigm feels incredibly different to me. I assume, and based on the sessions that I'm doing right now, I am seeing the most amazing things happen. I'm in awe. So I want to share Meredith Murphy, just a piece of what Meredith Murphy wrote, and Squirrel sent this out, about the eclipse passage reflections. We're in a potent passage, and it's good to tune into ourselves and see what we need to clear and complete in alignment with this motion towards a full moon on Monday, this Monday, accompanied by a partial lunar eclipse.
Oh, God.
This is the big one, too. This is the Venus transit. To do this, notice what triggers you lately. What you feel defensive or emotional about. Pay attention to what tires you out. What upsets you? I don't have a tablet that big. Pay special attention to that stuff you thought you were over, which may be surfacing for an even deeper uprooting and clearing. That stuff you don't want to hear about anymore. What you thought was gone that came up again. Notice what distracts you from your joy, and then resolve it. Deal with it. Feel it. Bless it. Forgive it. Honor it. Handle it. Do whatever it takes so you can have a clear foundation in life and return to an uncongested state of being. And boy, this week I got my little hiney handed to me, so I know this is all true. And it's usually cute because they send out the show announcement and then, you know, this stuff comes in the next day and I think, you know, you know. So I want to share this. What is the significance of the Venus transit June 5th and 6th? Oh, my God. Okay. These rare Venus transits are always highly significant. This one, coming so soon after the solar eclipse on May 20th, has added significance during the final stages of the approach to the December solstice 2012. The May 20th eclipse was about releasing and healing old, unbalanced, power-based, abusive, or destructive expressions of the masculine energy, and planting the seeds for a new positive, creative, heart-centered expression of the male spiritual warrior. Inevitably, this will bring about the release of old patterns of relationship with the feminine. Both men and women will need to adjust current relationships within the self and with each other to move into alignment with the new emerging expression of the positive masculine energy. The Venus transit is eclipsing old patterns of relationship and codependency that no longer work. God. That the new pure masculine energy has begun to take root. The Venus transit is the next stage in the process of healing both the masculine and the feminine. So I don't know about you, but if I could find a way to be out in space right now, I'd do it. Because I mean, this is familial. It's everything. Oh, Lord.
Does it have to be familiar? Can we check familial?
No, all relationships are red hot right now. All of them. Mm. Okay? Whether it's families, friends, partners, lovers, masculine and feminine relationships in our individual spheres, including families. And, you know, in my notes I wrote, why are they kicking our proverbial hineys? And, and it is because there is a balancing and healing occurring. It's also part of the themes that we came to the earth with this lifetime, as well as the collective issues around the masculine and feminine. And I guarantee you, anybody listening to this show tonight, you know, we have a lot of people who don't have children, but I can only speak for my own family, which are very archetypal. Again, met them in a cosmic bar. We're talking Star Wars, a couple of cosmic cocktails. I said I was going to Earth. They said, fine, we're going too. Can we come with you? Oh, Lord. And personally, I've had old energy surface that go all the way back to being in foster care, which boggled my mind. I could not believe, and of course I'd have to go into a session, and as I'm going into trance, you know, I'm getting the messages about where this stuff is coming from in the pictures, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've spent a lifetime healing this stuff and they're here again.
Oh,
and you know, the old abandonment and fear, loss of love, all this stuff. It's just like, what? No wonder I decided to be alone in this lifetime, other than the children's fathers, you know.
Chapters.
What?
You've had chapters of alone, right?
Oh, boy. excuse me, I'm also seeing a lot of family issues between male and female siblings. Have you seen this, Veronica? You're the one with the big family.
Well, I just want to say this. No, I haven't had much to do with my family, but there are two humongous family events this weekend, so I'm moving into family 100 miles an hour.
Oh,
right, lordy. I know, and
put
I'm
on your crash helmet.
What?
And put on your crash helmet.
I thought I would just wrap myself in the most amazing light and just shine.
Oh, that just sounds so wonderfully airy fairy. You go for it.
Oh, you have little faith, eh?
No, I absolutely believe you could do this. I trust it. I know that this is really down and dirty stuff. We're getting into the the last major vestiges of this stuff. And I don't care how damn much light you wrap around yourself. Good luck.
Oh, come on, Jackie. Come on.
Oh, my God. So
I'm asking for a reprieve.
I watched my son and daughter, and this was so fascinating to me, to see the roles that they played with each other. And to see my son, my daughter always called my son the chosen one. And he did, he came in so happy and loving and joyous, and my daughter came in cranky. Now, they're both incredibly powerful souls, but in totally different ways, okay? Totally different ways. And my daughter has been angry at my son since he was born. And she's never gotten over it. And he finally just has been exploding over the last month or so. And the sorrow coming out of him that, you know, all I really wanted was a relationship with my sister. I don't know how to do this. I feel like an abused sibling instead of an abused spouse. You know?
Oh, no.
And coming to the realization that he can never rectify it, from his perspective, that her anger, okay, even though it's directed at him, it wasn't about anything he did. It was his placement in the family, etc., and what he represented, so he can never change it. It's been fascinating to watch this unfold from my perspective and how deep it went, really deep. And so when I see these things manifest, whether they're my family or anybody else's, at these levels, I look at, you know, with all the, you know, the drama, and I'm waiting for the drum rolls and, you know, and the orchestra to play up. I really do see that this is something deeply embedded in the collective, deeply in the collective. And
do you think it's the sibling thing that's deeply embedded? Do you think it's just like the whole family archetypal thing?
I think it's, again, the divine masculine and feminine. And when I look at it, my son, of course, is gay. My daughter is a warrior. I mean, she, honest and truly, you know, that girl can pack it up and she'll plow through any situation. She can take on the darkest of the dark and not think twice. You and I would go in behind her and we'd be on the ground. Not her. Not her. She is tough. And so, you know, I really see her as the warrior. And this whole thing about the breaking down of the masculine and the male warrior, but it's also because, you know, I really see this male-female lines kind of blurring because we've been everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the energy, regardless of who's running it. We know that in many relationships, the female is the alpha. Right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Are you making me think, am I? I don't think so.
Well, and then when you look at, I mean, my daughter is definitely an alpha. She'd be the first to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm finding it fascinating to see how these energies are playing out because they're reflective of the collective energy, period. And I'm seeing a lot of men soften, really soften,
mm-hmm.
coming to terms with who they really are, the breaking down of the old ways of being. I'm seeing that start to peel away. And this is going to be interesting for women, okay, to be able to keep pace with that and still be there to foster that and to be there as the sounding board, be there as the lover, the friend, the sister, the whatever. As the old warriors and the old masculine starts to shift and change and break down. We can't do it any other way. And what has happened is that there's been so much feminine rage on the planet that we really need to kind of put that aside, you know, seriously, or deal with it once and for all so that we can be there to foster. I've seen this in other relationships. It's absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm seeing women who've been the alpha who are softening. And the universe is handing them one situation after another to get them down into their hearts. Sometimes situations aren't very pretty. It is so fascinating. Really and truly, I almost need, you know, cameras running all the time because I could do a dialogue after every session because I can't remember them all. But watching all of these people, and I have, my clients tend to be very, a lot of them, big, big souls, you know, really archetypal. And I'm thinking, holy mackerel, we're coming apart at the seams here as we're going through this massive shift. So when I leave the house, I go outside and I think, this does not feel like Earth. It just doesn't feel like Earth. Also the roles of the masculine and feminine. And I'm seeing those start to blur. It, very, very interesting. I was talking to somebody today, and a family member described them as being really totally who they are, showing up on all levels. Not necessarily as a couple, but individually, they're very powerful people. And when I look at them and energetically and so on, what I see is that they're both so powerful. There's what's missing is the vulnerability, the heart-centeredness. And but again, that's like seeing two warriors. Hmm. Even though we've got a male and a female, basically to me, they both run that warrior energy. Fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. So I'm seeing some women who've been very passive get tougher, and men who've been very tough become more passive. Again, nobody's turning into a wimp. That is really not what I'm talking about here, but I am talking, although I've seen one.
Did you tell him?
No, it was a female.
Okay.
No, I didn't have to. The breaking down process is so absolutely fascinating to me as we're shifting this, the whole collective. So, you know, Monday, I really and truly, I'm just going to put down the blinds and, you know, because with this Venus transit, I think it's going to be really, really interesting.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're just going to come apart and fight each other?
No, I think, you know, I think it's going to be very, very interesting in terms of the way it's going to affect us, in terms of the way that we've looked at love on all levels, both the receiving and giving of love, the way that we blocked the receiving and giving of love. You know, if you look at most people, and I think you'd probably agree, Veronica, most people get in their own way when it comes to love.
Oh, yeah.
All right? This is not about, and even with the universe is always sending love. We're the ones that shut it off. In our lives, there are people who want to love us, and more people than not have difficulty receiving love.
Mm-hmm. I know that. That's really a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. So this whole Venus transit, I think, is going to really kind of tear away at some of that, where people have armored themselves up. Okay? And, you know, I'm a good example of this one. I have to be really on top. I always say I have to be in the temple. I had an ex-fiance that used to call me that, you know, you're in the temple, I can hear it. And in the temple, I'm in my love, my compassion. You know, I'm always holding it together, good advice, so on and so forth. But I'm in the temple. <You know? laughs> Eventually, you got to come out of the temple. This is where I get into trouble. And all of a sudden, I have to deal with, you know, I'm laughing at myself over this because I do really well there. I know how to do that. Don't tell me I have to come play on the planet. Oh, no. You mean I got to do the human thing? no. So, very interesting to me, too. Be in the mix of dealing with these very interesting emotions as all of this breaking apart is going on. I'm fascinated. So I just want to say this and kind of tie this up because we do have some questions. Everyone is seeking, well, normally I would say two things. To be known, truly known, and to be loved. And I typed this up and the team said, no, add the third one. And that's to feel safe with another person. It's to feel safe. And that is, and it's not just another person, it's to feel safe. When you're in dominion, you do feel safe because you know how to respond to your reality. But those three things really hit me very, very deeply. And when I looked at all the people that are in any form of chaos, myself included, those are really the three things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with that entirely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, to be known, to be loved, and to feel safe. And that's what we're here to provide for everyone and for ourselves. And I think that's where we've been really remiss. Is not allowing that to come into our lives. Shutting it off for whatever reason. Thinking we're either not enough, shame, fear. God knows, you know, we've all got pockets full of excuses. And it doesn't matter if this is a family member, a friend, a lover. And it also includes, because as above, so below, your relationship with God, your relationship with the goddess, your relationship with God, goddess, all that is, and your higher self and your soul. It has to, because those are all levels of intimacy. Not everybody's aware of those others. They're there. They don't have to be aware of them. It'd probably be good, but unseen friends will do. Unseen friends will do. Okay, we have some questions tonight, so I'm going to go into channel. And Veronica, we just got the three, is that right?
Yes, we have three.
I'm sorry, I forgot to announce that you can send in your questions to Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com.
It's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just want, if anybody wants to send one now, we can take it.
Okay. And there was one that it was multi-part question, and I took the other parts off. We can address those at a different time. But if you're going to send a question, if you make it really long, I will always kind of cut part of it away and save it for the following week or the week after. All right. All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome to you, all of you, and to you, Veronica.
Thank you, and to you.
Oh, thank you. Very good to be here. All right. Now, you have some questions for us. We'll talk on tonight's subject after we get through the questions.
Okay. Well, we'll start with somebody who's talking about manifesting. My question is, why do the projects I'm guided to do just not seem to materialize in ways that support me financially? Consistently, I work on things that seem aligned, feel aligned, look aligned, and yet they still do not create the prosperity I require to continue doing them.
All right. Now, what is the name on this one?
Zahara Lightway.
Is there a name, a signature?
Yes, Zahra.
Zahra.
Yes.
All right, Zahra. All right.
Looks like he's doing very good work as well.
All right. Yes, we are aware. We can see that. All right. As we look at the undertakings that you are, and we say attempting, although you have some of them in manifestation, we would really recommend a couple of things. All right. One, we want you to look at your beliefs around prosperity and manifesting. And when we say this, all right, we want you to be very, very clear. This is where so many of you, especially coming forward with the new things you're going to be bringing forward into the world, the old way of believing, which will not work any longer, is that if I'm doing, quote unquote, God's work, or whatever name you want to give to it, the universe's work, whatever, then the money will be there. Everything will be there to support what I'm doing. And we want you to understand, more than ever before, you are the creator of your reality. God, the universe, God is all that is, does not. Listen carefully. Send prosperity, abundance, etc., because you're doing something to help other people. That isn't the way it works. Oh, it's nice in stories and books and movies, but that's not the way it works. Get very clear for yourself about your own beliefs around abundance and prosperity. If you're holding a belief that because I do this good work, prosperity and abundance will flow, which in essence is what you say in your question. I don't understand. I'm doing all these wonderful things and it's not flowing. It feels good. It looks good. And it does. However, it doesn't work that way. You are the one because you're functioning in an illusion. It's a paradox. It's a paradox. But it looks real. Yes. And it feels real. Yes. You are the creator of your reality. It spins out of your mind and manifests in front of you based on your beliefs and attitudes, choices, decisions, thoughts and feelings and expectations and some other things thrown in as well. We recommend to you, dear one, a wonderful book, not an easy read. Not an easy read, we tell you this lovingly. And it's an old book, and it's a Seth book, and it's called The Nature of Personal Reality. And when this material was brought forward, we've worked with many, many people around this material. They said, oh, I read that, you know, 20 years ago. Good, get it out. Read it again. If you can't find it, order a new one. This is the way it works. Beliefs. Look at your beliefs. Go on to Bonnie's website. LiveALifeYouLove.com. She has all kinds of material on her website about creating prosperity. This is dominion, dear one. This is part of safety. This is understanding how to respond to your reality. You know, so many of you talked about, oh, especially over these last, you know, 40 years or so, oh, the universe blessed me and this came down and then, you know, and on. You're in a different reality now. You've had all this time to practice, to really get it down. And people who've been working with reality creation principles are creating magnificent realities. And it doesn't matter how big or how small. It's the same energy. It's the same principles. Look at your relationship with God, your relationship with Dad. They're very tied together. They're tied also to abundance. And then sit down and start writing your beliefs about money. And abundance. And for what you're doing, abundance can come in any form. Any form. From any direction, any level, any way. Donations and all kinds of things for the wonderful things that you are doing. If you're holding a belief that money is difficult to get, that life is hard, that people are selfish, that my work isn't appreciated, there's a whole variety. And so we recommend, we work with dear Bonnie, we know her very well, and she will always say, and this woman works with her beliefs, and when something doesn't work, no matter how big or how small, she will sit with it and say, what would I have to believe for my reality to look the way it does right now? And she will sit and write beliefs. Let's see, let me think. Oh dear, I got to believe this. Money is difficult to come by. People are selfish. It can trip you up in different ways. It doesn't mean that what you're doing isn't wonderful. It is. That you're not doing it beautifully. You are. And the only piece you have to work with is finance. And that, dear one, is easy to change. Oh, wait, oh, no, we hear you. That's the hardest one. No, it's really not. It's really not. It's really not. Start working with your beliefs. start doing intentions on Bonnie's site. She has some wonderful intentions in there. Print them out. We'll cut and paste them and work with them. Work with your intentions. Change your beliefs, and you'll be amazed. And look for the signs. Really be intent. You don't just sit down and do this one time. Someone asked her today, well, you know, how do you change a belief? And we said it's really quite simple. You write down the old belief, the one that's not working for you, you scratch it out. You write down the new belief, the one that you know is much more appropriate to hold. And then feel it. How is it going to look for that new belief to manifest in your life? Feel the excitement. Visualize it in your experience. And put emotion to it, because you're on planet Earth. The gift of emotion is the driver for your reality creation. It's not just mental. It's fueled with emotion. And you'll get wonderful at this. And we fully expect, all right, you to create more and more magnificent things. We're going to give you a caveat here. Make certain that you're not running. This belief will override everything else. Nothing ever works for me. From that mentality, you zero out everything. Because nothing ever works for me is tied to martyr. And that will get you in trouble. Change that one first. To everything works for me. I know how to respond to my reality. We don't care how you phrase it. This is responding from a sense of dominion. It's your reality. The only thing that's holding it together are your beliefs. And your intentionality. We hope that this helped you, dear one. We hope that this helped you. We send tremendous blessings to everything you're doing. Open to receive them, dear one. All right. Veronica, you have another question.
Yes. The ET ships uncloaking and demonstrating a presence to mankind throughout the world, and yet when it comes to disclosures, they balk and retreat behind a wait-and-see scenario for the governments of Earth to change and accept them. This seems like a foster parent not wanting to see the children they've helped raise after the children were emancipated. Is there dysfunctional contention amongst star groups and thus leaving us to believe that their only interest is not to allow mankind to venture forth with nuclear weapons and dirty energy supplies to power the human-developed craft through the dimensions of space and visit them with our pollution? That's pretty complicated, isn't it?
All right. So
that's from David.
All right, David. Well, we hope you're tuned in. All right, David. Well, let's talk about beliefs with you. Oh, and this is such a big subject. All right. So we're gonna. First of all, there is a timeline. In terms of contact with Earth, this is not a punishment and this is not a refusal to step forward as the foster parent. Although there's more of a relationship than a foster parent. As a collective, you have a collective consciousness. As a collective, you said, no, not yet. We're going to do this in a way that's never been done before. We see the finish line as a race, David. You've gone further into the dark and come back into the light of your own volition without our intervention. Oh, we had a little of this, a little of that, but nothing that you'd really know about. Go way, way back, some of that. You're seeing it on your ancient alien program now. But as a race, you have come so far, and you are now teaching the cosmos. You all have it backwards. You tend to think of yourselves here in this corner of the universe, this lonely little planet that everybody forgot. Oh, they fly around the planet all the time, as you said, cloaking here and there. But you all fend for yourselves, but that's not the case at all. Everyone is celebrating where you are and what you're doing. They're in awe of how far you've come. And you carry some traits that are very valuable in the universe. And the most important one is your capacity to love, your capacity to forgive. Now, you may look out in your world and say, wait, I don't see forgiveness. Look at what these terrible people are doing. We would advise you to go to compassionate detachment, to allow people to do whatever they're going to do and play it out. Your planet is changing. Human consciousness is changing. The non-interference is at your request. Because of the impact that you are having is so great and so honored and so observed. Now, yes, you have pollutants. Nuclear energy, well, we'll just say this, all right? Nuclear devices being exploded, we don't think you're going to see on your planet. There are a lot of other groups out there that are monitoring that. Have you dirtied up the planet? Yes. But every species that has become extinct has been saved somewhere. I want you to be very clear with this. The ones that you refer to as the grave have been very busy saving everything that's becoming extinct. Your planet will be restored in the future, but we will not interfere when, as a species, the majority, the collective consciousness has said, not yet. You're going to see more sightings. There will be some interactions. They will be increasing. We've said this before. No, nobody's going to land on the White House lawn right now. But we would advise you, dear one, to spread, rather than dissatisfaction, as much love as possible. You want to change this planet. Do it from a perspective of love, a perspective of encouragement. What's done for you is done out of love and respect. Please be aware of that. Do we assist on many different levels? Yes. Do we work with many of you in the dream time? Absolutely. And many of you are aboard ships and doing all kinds of things in your dream time. Be patient, dear. You can listen to all the channelings and so on and so forth, and here's what we'll say to you. including this one, which you may or may not believe. It is certainly up to you. Take what feels good, leave what does not. You will see in time. That all that's been created, including the hybrid children, are part of the larger scenario. Part of the larger scenario. All by agreement. Everything by agreement. Focus on what you want, David, not on what you don't want. And open up, you may be surprised at what happens for you. As we happen to know, you're on the road a lot. Right? You're on the road a lot. All right, Veronica, you have another question.
What's the most important thing to do to remember who I am, especially when I have no one in my family who's interested in what I know about this change that's happening? Help. You want her name?
All right, say it. Read it again, please.
Okay. What is the most important thing to do to remember who I am, especially when I have no one in my family who's interested in what I know about all this change that's happening? Help me, please.
All right. Well, we're a little curious about what kind of help you want. If you have, what is the name, please, Veronica?
Geeta.
What is it?
Geeta, I believe it's Geeta, G-E-E-T-H-A.
Geeta. All right, Geeta. We don't know where you're writing from, what country or whatever. It depends. If you're writing from a different country, sometimes these things are a little different. As a star being, you all kind of planted yourselves all over the world, and we love you all for the great volunteers that you are. To remember who you are, all right? The fact that you feel it right now says that you are in touch. It doesn't matter whether your family acknowledges it or not. It might make you feel better, dear one, but please understand that many of you came into families as the only one who was awake. Not to change them. Please be clear with that. Don't take that cloak on. Because when you're trying to change your own family, all right, you're going to push the boulder up the hill 100 times. And it'll still roll back down. All right.
Sisyphus.
What?
Sisyphus. Right?
Right.
The list.
All right.
The myth, yeah.
So, knowing who you are, we encourage you to join groups of people, depending on where you live. Read. Read. Dolores Cannon's books are wonderful. There are many wonderful websites. We mentioned Bonnie's site earlier tonight. Live a Life. YouLove.com. This is all about you, dear one. Loving and honoring you. We know that for many of you who feel that you are aware, awake of knowledge and information that others don't get, that's part of the awakening process. And wanting to know more of who you really are. All right. And who you really are right now is an earthling. Because that's where you are. That doesn't mean you don't have all of these wonderful connections to star friends and families, because you do. And as we said earlier, so many of you spend so much time out of body, aboard different ships, doing different things. Some of you working with the earth grids, the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, the animals, the children, everything. You're all very busy. Try to find community, whether you do it via your computer or by reading and taking things in. Dolores's books, Dolores Cannon, DoloresCannon. Her beautiful series, The Convoluted Universe, books 1, 2, 3, 4. Another recent book, we believe it's The Fourth Wave or something of that nature. Those books are all imbued. Imbued. And more you're going to find material coming out that is imbued. Dolores in particular has been working with star beings for a very long time through her regressions. And the information in her books is what these people said under a very deep state, the deepest state of regression. But their experiences can trigger in you memories of who you are. And that's why we encourage it for you, very strongly for you. All right, we hope that helps you, dear one. Remember that you're loved. And no matter how it looks, you are absolutely not alone. Remember that. All right, Veronica, you should have one more question there.
I do. We're pulling out of mass consciousness and aligning with those of similar frequencies. Will we become unaware of the present mass consciousness as it seems to be? In other words, as our frequencies are raising with others, how much of the human mass consciousness will one experience or be aware of? Are we completely and literally creating a new energy human consciousness? I'm asking as it seems that Buddha watched the mass consciousness from an observation perspective. I think I know what you'll say, but I still want to ask. Thank you. Love, Laura.
All right, Laura, well, right now you're not Buddha. So, based on that, Buddha walked a singular path. All right. Buddha made a conscious choice to step out of the collective and to lead people down a different road. The collective consciousness, it's actually a very good question. All right. The way you ask it would be as though you were saying that the collective consciousness is in a state of stasis, that it's not changing at all. And the collective consciousness is constantly changing as every one of you change. Constantly changing. So the collective consciousness that you knew a minute ago is not the one that you're experiencing right now. And we will say this to you. Laura, you've worked with us for a very long time. And for those of you that don't know, we have people that we've worked with for a long time and that came in specifically. They have other things besides this, but this was a big piece of their contract to assist with the shifting of the collective in a bigger way. So they took on very complex lifetime, all right, which needed lots of healing. Because our plan was that the people we work with, this goes through the archetypes, these healings, and filters into the entire collective. It's kind of like an accelerated shift of the collective consciousness. That was our desire from the beginning. All right, because we couldn't get to enough people any other way. So we looked for a more elegant solution. This is before many of you actually came onto the planet, but it was in planning stages. Many of you participated in that planning. Now, what you're really noticing, Laura, is that as you heal and change and love yourself more, because reality is subjective, you're seeing it differently. it would be lovely to say to you all, I'm pulling out of the collective consciousness. Well, yes and no. You have a different relationship with the collective, and that's what we would say to you. If you still lose your temper, if you still get angry, if you still get frustrated, if you aren't completely, totally, unconditionally loving to yourself and everything in the world, you're still part of the collective consciousness. Because that's the way it works. Now, we don't like to do comparisons here, but we have high end, low end. All right? We get into this whole thing with quantum physics. Basically, it's the same thing. You can be holding up the higher end of the collective by holding a higher resonance. And because of reality creation and the way reality creation works, you're going to attract people in that higher resonance because that's where you function. Likewise, people operating in the lower end of the collective are going to attract people in that lower end of the spectrum. Again, without judgment now, people. Because this is where you're going now. We encourage you not to judge anyone or anything, and as difficult as it is, when you watch your televisions and your news, to stay out of judgment. Because the moment you go there, you drop your resonance. You drop your resonance to that which you judge, and then you've got to drive it all the way back up again. And it doesn't matter whether you're watching a news program or judging another person. It's the same thing. Now, where you're all going to get into trouble is with families and in partners, married partners, relationship partners, doesn't matter what those are. Female, female, male, male, it doesn't matter what it is.
And we'll have to come to a close.
All right. Veronica, if you would. All right. Sorry?
We just have seconds, so you can close.
All right. Veronica, go ahead and tell me about your show.
Oh, it's at 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, and I don't know who is going to be my paradigm shifter, someone making a difference, I hope, in business.
Okay.
And Thursday is 7 o'clock, Radiance by Design. Thank you.
All right. Good. All right. We would love to work with all of you tonight, if you are willing. And we open the door for you to ask specifically for one thing. Now, don't get a whole list, everybody. All right? One thing. It's not that we're being mean and we're not being your parents here. But one thing specifically you'd like to work on that's imperative to you right now. If it's a health issue, if it's a financial issue, if it's a manifestation issue in something in your life, if it's spiritual, if it's opening your consciousness. All right. We send to each and every one of you our total, complete, unconditional love. And to you, Veronica.
And to you.
Namaste.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.